C1B 1 and 2.
Number 16A.
We come to the last subject of love in that big development from the Adam dream up to the present age. It is as if she would have shown that whole development through the 1,000-year periods of biblical history, which coincide with the development of the idea of mind and spirit and soul, principle, life. Then at the point of truth came Christian Science. And now, as you know, we are at the threshold to the 7,000-year period, which can be depicted as the period or the age of divine science, love. We are right now at that point where it seems that the idea is beginning to break through, that the new age is precipitating itself on civilization, on the modern Western thought, and that all over the world one feels a great stirring, a stirring of breaking away from the old landmarks, where there is a sense that science, natural science, the sciences have not brought really the salvation that was expected from them. If you know a bit of cultural history of the last century, when actually thought at the time of Marx and the beginning of technology, that really with science one would be able to handle the world so and have such dominion over the earth that we could really bring in paradise. And everything was based on the hope that science will do it, and we know now that science has failed to bring in that paradise. And so little by little in the general thought of the world, something is breaking away from trust in material science, in natural science, and is clamoring for a new consciousness, for a new trust, a trust in the spiritual. And here at this crucial point, we could come in and say, well, it is not so much science that failed, but what failed is that we thought that we could build science on a material basis instead of on a spiritual basis. Therefore, Mrs. Eddy presents here of divine science. That term divine science comes now in more and more into the text, which would usher in the last great period, the 7,000-year period of love, of divine science. In this overturning period, naturally we have to see that we are not looking so much at the overturning phenomena, what is overturned, but really to see the goal that is towards which everything is directed, so that we are not really bewildered by the present overturning, and keep our heads clear and have enough trust in the divine idea, that that divine idea has been leading mankind over thousands of years, always through many tribulations, but always upward, forward, and so it will be today too. It is interesting to see what steps Mrs. Eddy could foresee for the purpose of introducing this new millennium, the 7,000-year period. And so we go through the text and we'll see that we have already been touched by some points that she brings out, which would be prerequisites for the demonstration of that new age. So I begin with love as mind. My epitome is: the spiritual meaning of the science of the Bible must be gained through inspiration, not through the letter. It is quite interesting to see that here now she brings up the question of the Bible. To think that the new age is being ushered in, so to say, by a new understanding of the Bible is perhaps quite astonishing for many people who feel the Bible is old, it belonged to a past age, to a culture that is far behind us, whereas she sees that the Bible contains the divine science, but that it has never really been discovered and understood, that the approach to the Bible up to the present time was always wrong, inadequate, and so demands a new approach to the Bible. She speaks about the science of the Scripture here in this paragraph. This is quite astonishing that right here she would use that phrase, science of the Scripture, a wording that is seldom in her book. Perhaps it's the only time she uses it. I don't know that quite out of by memory, but anyway, it's a very seldom wording, meaning that for the first time mankind should approach the Bible as a science, and no more as a religion, no more as a historical book, no more in a literal way, but that suddenly it should be approached as a science. This has always been foreign to the Western world. Quite to the contrary to this demand, the Western world tried to split up the Bible and science, and make a great gulf in between science and Bible, and tried to consider that the Bible would concern an aspect of being that has nothing to do with the science, that belongs, so to say, to the spiritual, to the religious, to the emotional, to the world of belief and faith, and not to the world of science. Mrs. Eddy asks here that the Bible should be understood as a science. Theology has never undertaken that. Quite to the contrary, I think the present age has seen that the Bible has been approached, first of all, always through the old way of the Orthodox way of taking it literally and historically, and that today people are interested to prove the history that the Bible is right, historically right. I don't know if you know all these books that have come out to prove that the Bible is right historically. Then you have other approaches today, which from the field of psychology, which now find that the Bible tells us psychological insights, and therefore they interpret the Bible psychologically. And so we have various new interests in the Bible, but all miss the great point. Namely, they never approach it as a science, as a spiritual science. Mrs. Eddy naturally in her textbook has seen that the Bible represents the same science as the textbook itself, because she could see that the origin of the Bible and the textbook is the same. Both came from revelation, from the same source of the divine mind, mind revealing itself to humanity. So she postulated that the Bible should be investigated as science. The question is, how far has she investigated the Bible as science? We don't have much confirmation about that work, except the key to the Scripture which she has given, in which she has just interpreted the first and second record of creation at the beginning of the Bible, and then a few passages at the end of the Bible, the Apocalypse, and that's all what she has given as a key to the Scripture. Naturally, she meant that this key to the Scripture should be a scientific key, and so left it to the future discovery what that key means in regard to the science of the Bible. We have actually from her not many further indications how that key to the Scripture applies to the decoding of the whole Bible, and so she only left one prophecy, namely that prophecy that every age in the future that would understand something more about the textbook would find its correlative proof in the scriptures, that side by side with a deeper understanding of the textbook on Christian Science, there would be also a deeper understanding of the Bible, and left that, so to say, as a prophecy. So actually we can see that this prophecy had its fulfillment. Namely, long afterwards, over 30 years later, John Dolittle began to see that actually the key to the scripture, namely the 7 days, are revealing to us the seven synonymous terms, that in the chapter Apocalypse, the four sides of the holy city are revealing to us that second great category of being, namely Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, through that symbol of the city four square, and that in addition to it, the chapter Apocalypse shows us the levels of science and of consciousness, because the whole chapter leads the reader from the level of Christian Science, then to the level of absolute Christian Science, then to the level of divine science, and from there again back as a way of demonstration to absolute Christian Science and to Christian Science, and closes the chapter. So when John Dolittle saw that key to the scripture, that key was actually the seven synonymous term, operating as a fourfold calculus as Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, and having its impact on every level of existence, namely on science, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science, he had, so to say, discovered in the Christian Science textbook, in those last two chapters, the key to the scripture. And then you know what he did. Once he has seen those three great categories that constitute the science of divine science, with that consciousness and with that knowledge, he went back to the Bible and started to read the Bible and interpret the Bible within the system, so that he gave, with his thousands and thousands and thousands of printed pages on the Bible, showed that actually the books of the Bible, each book of the Bible has a scientific layout, that each one has a structure, and that this structure is in conformity with that system, the divine system of reference, which he had seen in the textbook, and so for the first time in human history showed the correlation of the system of Christian Science with the system that is embedded in the Bible. And one can therefore see that this point here, lover's mind, is depicting what has actually been done in the middle of the 20th century as a beginning of the new period of the 7,000-year period, because she stipulates here that the science of the Bible can only be understood through inspiration, because it was written by inspiration and therefore can only be decoded by inspiration. That until we see that the divine mind that wrote the book, that then therefore only the divine mind can interpret the book, that only then really we find the correlation of Bible and textbook. And this Mr. Dolittle has done to a large extent. He has opened up most of the books of the Bible, of the Old Testament and New Testament, and some students of his have afterwards opened up the rest of those books, so that practically everything from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible is today seen in its structure, in its very definite structure, as I've shown in my book on the prophets and the epistles, we even can trace those structures back to definite laws, divine laws, that are ruling every book of the Bible. This is completely new. This is an approach of which nobody has been... This is an approach that nobody was thinking about. Nobody was ever dreaming that one could approach the subject that way. And so we are witnessing here a terrific new step and opening up of a new era, bringing the Bible and the Christian Science textbook together as one book and depicting the one and the same and the only divine system of reference. So Mrs. Eddy therefore asks here in Love's mind to see that the scriptures contain divine signs. That's her great point. And that this divine signs and the scripture can only be seen through inspiration and needs inspiration to be understood. And in order that it is understood, she brings out that we must see the spiritual meaning of the Bible. Can you see mind, the spiritual meaning of the Bible, and not the uninspired meaning, the literal meaning? And so she gives some examples of how the literal meaning can be corrected through inspired translators and bring out more the spiritual meaning than the literal meaning. So this would be the very first step. And I think this very first step has to be taken rather seriously. I would say that the textbook gives us the system, the science of the system. And in the Bible, we hear really that system more in tones, in experiences, illustrated in experiences, and therefore I feel that we get the tonality of the divine system even better if we also take in the Bible and study the Bible in the tonality of the system. I remember that at those early days, it was quite interesting to see that for many, many years we would just study the textbook because we are interested in finding out what each synonymous term would mean. That demanded many years of devoted study, going over these references again and again, just to refine and refine our tonality of what these seven synonymous terms meant. And so our whole attention over many, many years was centered on the textbook. Then when we had a certain sense of these synonymous terms, then we spent many, many, many years really on the Bible. Right from round about 1946 onward, over the next 5-6 years, we spent our time on the Bible trying to see therein the same system brought out in a completely different symbolism but the same tonality. And because the Bible speaks another language than the textbook language but the same tonality, we therefore could culture with the illustration of the Bible the tonality of the seven synonymous terms, making us free from the literal meaning, from using always the same terms to explain a synonymous term, freeing us of the wordy sense of it, and getting the touch, the feel, the music of the seven synonymous terms. The Bible gives you so much the music of it, the feel of it, and it is actually only then when I have been culturing those seven synonymous terms through the Bible very deeply, very consecratedly, that I got tonality that was clear enough then suddenly to be able to decipher the textbook the way you have it now. So that round about 1950-51, I suddenly could open the textbook again and read it, and suddenly read it no more as a reading book, no more as isolated statements, but suddenly saw in it the structure of it. This on the basis that the tonality was clear enough within me now to be absolutely independent on terms, thinking now in subjects, in themes, and not in sentences, not in words, not dissecting words, not dissecting sentences, but now thinking in themes, and these themes were structured within me through the divine system of reference. So within about, as far as I can remember, about 3 months, I could open up the structure of each chapter of the textbook. It was what you have over now, since then, over those 25 years, and what I presented as the structure of the textbook that fell into my lap within about 3 months. So you can see the structure of the textbook is not something difficult or very intricate. It is just a matter, do we have the tonality within ourselves or not? If we don't have the tonality within ourselves, we cannot read the textbook, no matter how much time we give to it. If we have the tonality within ourselves, it is easy to decipher, to decode, so to say, the textbook. So here we are actually working on that first great point that will open up the new language of spirit, namely love as mind, getting the spiritual sense of the science of the scripture. And so it is quite understandable that she goes on to love as spirit, where I have epitomized it like this: in order to gain the spiritual meaning of the Bible, the standpoint of interpretation must be changed from a material to a spiritual basis. She says here that the spiritual interpretation of the scripture is an important one, but in order to do that, the marginal heading is standpoints changed. So that she demands that understanding must change the standpoint from a material to a spiritual basis, and that without that, harmonious and immortal man cannot be obtained. So here she stresses that point, that naturally we must learn the language of spirit, the spiritual tonality, that we can never go out from a material conception, therefore never from a historical conception of the Bible, so that actually we could say that even if not a single incident would be historically true in the Bible would lose none of its significance, none at all, so that it's no use to try to prove that the Bible is historically right, or nearly right, or half right, or not right. This is not the question. The Bible teaches spiritual things, and in order to teach spiritual things, one must illustrate and use illustration. And we know, a mother knows that very well, that when she has a child, she has to illustrate any idea, any new concept that the child should learn, like honesty or so, and she must say through a little story what honesty means and make up a story. It doesn't matter if that story is true or not true. The idea is the main thing. And we must consider this with the Bible, that we can see that those writers of the Bible, they saw a spiritual idea and therefore used those illustrations and such illustration, and made up those stories that would illustrate the law of that idea. And therefore, the Bible has actuality. It is so true and real today as it was yesterday, because it is the same principle that is operating today as 2,000 years ago. Therefore, it doesn't matter a bit if the illustration taken at that time were true or not, were historic or not historic, because those ideas are true today and operate through new circumstances, through new situations, through new symbols. But little by little we know that the symbols should disappear as we rise, and therefore the step forward is to get nearer and nearer to more abstract symbols, then to historical symbols, symbols from nature, to get more abstract symbols, until finally the symbols become so refined that they become spiritual tones, and we hear the language of spirit.